Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get, well, not that good at it. You could do about half of your New Year's resolutions. You could, I don't know, join a CrossFit gym or something like that. Or you can start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. So, man, if you're out there and you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your own home. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral spray and serum treatments to find out which one works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there is no uncomfortable doctor visits. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if a treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinkingbros. That's Hims.com/drinkingbros for your personalized hair loss options. Hims.com/drinking bros.
Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
ShopOmahaSteaks.com. Give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves for Father's Day. Plus, our listeners get $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. Yes, yes, I do. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. I agree. I love nothing more than hanging out with the fam, going to the pool, drinking, and having some great meats. Omaha Steaks is the best in the biz. Also love their burgers as well. Talked about those a couple weeks ago on here with the burgers. Those smash burgers, man, they're phenomenal. They're pre-packaged, pre-smashed, all that other stuff. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, what's the difference? It's just a patty or whatever. It's not. They're caramelized and seared and all that other fun stuff there. And it literally goes from freezer to bun in 5 minutes. And that's the truth. Anybody out there who's got kids, who tear through these things and then you want to make them real quickly and everything else, my wife was able to dial these in and rip through a whole package of, I think it was 16 free is what we got in the last box.
Yeah.
And yeah, man, they're phenomenal. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917, family-owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. They also carry mouth-watering burgers, chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, and easy-to-prepare comfort food. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for guaranteed perfect gifts that deliver legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com. And you're going to get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Head on over to that site, man. You can get lost in there, by the way. Bob, is that it up there?
Yeah.
What else do they have? I ordered burgers and steak last time.
I'm messing around with their seafood section here. They got lobster, shrimp, freaking crab.
Do they really?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, I haven't ordered that. I haven't ordered that yet. All right.
King crab legs, jumbo lump crab meat if you don't feel like cracking it open.
Yeah, let's go. Okay. I was unaware of that game.
Look at these thick puppies.
Yeah. I was just a steak boy and everything else. I didn't want to say, hey, wife, cook me a lobster for dinner. Like Henry VIII or something like that. But I will now. shit, if they can just drop it off at the house, that'd be great. I didn't want to go to the fucking grocery store and get it, which is exactly what Omaha Steaks does. They just drop it off right at your doorstep.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. We had a very special Wednesday afternoon show for you today. Some people might know him as the star of Mayans MC, but we know him as Rocco. Vincent Rocco Vargas is here. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, man? I don't know about the star of Mayans, but
you're a series regular now. You're a bright shooting star, damn it.
All right, I'll take it. I appreciate it.
When they send out the
press kit,
the press kit, you get your own individualized picture at this point. So that means that you're a star.
You've made it.
Yeah. I don't know if I've made it, but we got to keep it going. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
It's weird while you're in it, right? Because I'm sure people say that to you all the time. They're like, oh, hey, man, you're a huge TV star. This is fucking amazing or whatever. And you're like, I'm just hoping not to die in the next script.
Yeah. In this kind of world is like, well, hopefully season four is well received. So then we get season five. And if not, you know, I'm unemployed, you know? And so like, it's a whole different ball game. Like, it doesn't matter that you're season regular. It's really about what's the next project. If not staying on this project, right? If this project continues to exist, beautiful. You know, we got some longevity here. Being a season regular, we're finally getting paid. We're living wages, right? I could actually survive off of, because before this, I was still going back to a regular day job or hustling and grinding on the acting thing, trying to get new auditions and stuff. So yeah, after season four, until we hear about season five, I'm on the hunt for new auditions and new opportunity because, you know, the bills got to keep getting paid.
Yeah. And we just had Josh Peck on the show a couple weeks ago. Obviously a pretty famous actor in his own right. And he kind of broke down a TV salary in his new book. And he was like, dude, people don't understand, man. I was getting 10 grand a show. We were only doing 12 episodes a year for Drake and Josh. He goes, even though everybody saw it everywhere, he was like, the residuals were shit. And, you know, after agents and managers took their cut, he was like, I was making 60 grand a year.
Yeah, that's exactly. Like, for the first season, I think I made below SAG minimum because whatever was negotiated through FX and SAG. And however that works, right? I don't understand how it works, but I think I was making $5,500 an episode. You know, and so then you sit and be like, okay, well, this is going to make a small dent, but like while I'm here, I can't work a real job. So then how am I going to kind of fulfill that gap? And then when this is done, how do I go get a job and say, you look, in 6 months, I might be quitting again to go back to film to make, you know, nothing and for a shot and a chance to make this a career. It's a crazy gamble.
It is. It's a crazy industry. And, you know, I had a friend on, a buddy of mine was on Sons of Anarchy. And he had a very similar, it was Theo Rossi. Yeah. So Theo was on there and it was very similar where he started off almost the same way you did and then built himself up to a series regular. And then the next thing you know, it goes 8 seasons. I think this will probably happen with Mayans MC. The ratings have been great for FX for the first 3 years here. And your season opener is what, next Tuesday?
Yeah, it's on the 19th.
Okay. Tell the audience what time, by the way. Is it 9?
Oh man, it's kind of different. I think it's going to be 8 o'clock Pacific Central Time on FX and streaming on Hulu. And okay. If you don't have the streaming Hulu, then it's the next day on Hulu. I'm pretty sure because for me, it's 9 o'clock in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, and you know the odd thing about Hulu these days is more people are watching on Hulu than they are watching on FX. I don't know if you guys have really broken down the numbers, but I remember seeing the numbers for Dave. For example, Dave had about 5.5 million and, you know, 200,000 were coming off of FX. All the others were coming off of Hulu and you get paid both ways. So it doesn't really matter. But is that different in the way you promote the project?
Honestly, I only promote the project the way that the PR team asks us to promote the project. So I have seen the big push for FX and Hulu. And every time we mention it, it's kind of one goes in the other. As for like viewers, I don't know. I don't think we get to see the viewership when it comes to adding them up, you know, because it has the plus threes and the plus sevens. Mm-hmm. But All in all, I know it's just kind of this, the team we promote it all. We promote FX and Hulu because I think Hulu is probably has easier access than FX because you have to have a whole different cable system for FX itself. Right. So I think that's why Hulu is getting, it's just like Netflix. Netflix is easy to go to because you have Netflix and you can show it. Yep. Hulu, same reasons why.
Yeah. I'm starting to get used to Hulu as well. Their programming has gotten pretty goddamn good these days, man.
Dave is one of my favorite shows ever.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Dave is great. Atlanta's great. The new season of Atlanta's back. I mean, John Landgraf, I believe, is still the president of FX, right?
Yes.
Has been for many, many years. He was the one that put It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia on the air. Yes. He's a brilliant, brilliant executive. I feel like those guys over there just don't miss at FX. Your series is absolutely amazing. Can you give Thank the you. Audience a clue of where it's headed this year and where your character is headed this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. So, you know, we've had the whole season three was kind of a mess. And now we're trying to clean up that mess and everyone's past comes back to haunt them. So it really is everyone has a past that they have to deal with in what some case and something they've, whether it's prior to the MC or while being on the MC. And I think it's the best season we've done. I think the writing has been crazy awesome. And so I'm excited about it this season because genuinely as an actor, I've been pushed harder than I've ever been pushed in anything I've ever done. And so I'm excited to show the veteran community, you know, that this is a viable thing for any of us, but two, you know, it's a little bit of, there's an insecurity in acting and always looking for affirmation. And I think being pushed so hard as an actor this season, I personally am very proud of the work that I was able to do. And the character Gilly and where he's gone in this season to me, I think it's going to blow a lot of people away, but as well as, I think the veteran community is going to be proud because there is a veteran storyline.
Oh, that's awesome. Did they do that on purpose because of your background?
Yeah, I think from early on, you can't deny the holding of the rifle and being tactical. by season two, they were like, hey, Gilly character is veteran. I was like, oh, cool. You know, I didn't have a lot of lines. I'm just kind of the dude in the room that's a big, authentic looking biker. And then you start seeing these one-liners like, oh, this place looks like Afghanistan and things like that. The little dialogue that kind of you would see that Gilly's a veteran. But as an ensemble cast, it wasn't the character's time for a storyline. As season three came into effect, there started being more storyline connected to Gilly. And I think season four really opens up that door and goes starts to really, dissect that storyline.
I mean, it's easier for the post-production team just to have you text them pictures of you and Kit than it is for them to Photoshop that shit, I guess, yeah. Right? So that probably does help, right? I mean,
I'm still a tech advisor of the show. So, I had to help with a lot of guidance on the directions of where the character would go and what makes more sense and what's more authentic and real. There's a couple surprises that the veteran community is going to be really proud about. I am sure of it and I can't mention it, but we'll talk about it more later as it happens. I really was able to, make sure that this storyline came off as authentic as possible with also, the little nuances of Hollywood and wanting to still make it an entertaining show.
FX keeps your fucking storylines under wraps, dude. You guys can't say shit about anything over there.
I mean, just all the fucking hits over the years and different genres too. I mean, obviously Mayans, but Sons of Anarchy before it. And before that, the fucking Shield, that's a lot of the same production team on those three shows. You got Justified, right? Also kind of a drama. Uh-huh. But then you have It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia and Dave on the comedy. Like it, I mean,
Atlanta's my favorite show on TV. I mean,
I don't really know how to Americans is another good one where there were those Russian spies. I don't know how to categorize the show Atlanta. Like it's not really a comedy, but it's really fucking funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who's the lead actor in that? The lead actor in Atlanta
Donald Glover, aka Donald Glover. Childish Gambino.
That dude is one of the most talented artists or whatever you want to call that. He's everything. That dude's great. Everything he touches.
Yeah, they filmed the first two seasons and then took a year off and then filmed the second two seasons.
Two full years off.
And then they're done.
Yeah. So they're walking away after this. Both seasons are shot and in the can. And he said, look, this is as great as I can possibly make TV, and I'm out of here. So I know FX was like, God damn it. We'll put you on forever if you stay. And he's just like,
that's what he does though. Everything he does, he has his own tie to it, like his own artistry to it. And then it's like, boom, here you go. The world can have it. And I'm like, I'm always blown away by how he does things.
I know, but syndication on even on cable pays a lot of money.
Well, now, yeah, but now with streaming and Hulu. Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. So there's the whole streaming involvement has changed a lot. And I mean, there's been crazy negotiations and I imagine there's probably going to be a big fight over that, but our residuals are not the same as it used to be. The contracts we're signing are different because streaming has changed all that.
Yep.
So I don't know how excited I would be about syndication as much as I would want to just jump onto another job. Mm. You know what I mean? And with him being able to prove how dope he is, he can easily get another job greenlit right away. And it's probably in a direction where he wants to, you know, construct his own artistry in a different format. So I don't know if syndication is something that I would be looking forward to anymore because I don't know if the money is still there.
Yeah. I know back in the day, SAG-AFTRA fucked it all up for actors because they didn't see streaming coming. And so they just never built those rights into the contracts and these negotiations with the studios. The studios knew and they didn't know. And they were like, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. And they were still fighting for like basic cable residuals and DVD residuals and HBO. And it was like, hey, dude, all of this is going to move to streaming. And everything that you argued about and fought for doesn't fucking matter. Like the studio, they'll give that to you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's going to be a change, right? I think there has to be at some point where we get compensated for the streaming in some aspects. I don't know how that works, but I can see the frustration already building on what residuals look like in season one till now. I mean, I had a $40,000 check show at once. I was like, oh my God, this is like half my year's paid. You know what I mean? Like, I was like pumped about it. And I think the last residual check I got from like, you know, previous season was like $400. I was like, well, dinner's on me tonight, boys.
Yeah. Crazy, right? I mean, it's just such a drastic change where you're like, fuck, it's all gone now.
I feel it.
Yeah, you used to be able to buy a car, and now it's, hey, dude, it's a Red Lobster night tonight.
Sizzler, here we go.
It's a Sizzler night, baby. Pack up the car.
Are people still doing that? Sizzler doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
It does.
I don't know. Yeah.
It does.
Sizzler was a big deal when I was younger, bro.
It exists in my heart.
I passed a Sizzler, and it was fucking packed. I think it was in San Antonio when we were there for the fight last weekend. I passed the fucking Sizzler. Fight? Yeah. We went to that Ryan Garcia fight.
My dad was in the corner for Carlos. What is it? Who's Espinosa? I don't even know. My father was in the corner for two fighters.
Really? Dude, we were ringside. Yeah, we would have given him a shout out. We were right there.
I know. That's crazy. Yeah. He was a cut man for two of the fighters there that day.
The closest Sizzler is in Western New Mexico.
Really?
Yeah.
What the fuck was I thinking of? It's one of those shitty steak places. God damn it.
Why was your dad there? And Stitch was also there. It wasn't that big of, I mean, that Garcia kid's got a lot of, but
there was a lot of followers.
No, Garcia is a big name
for sure. But so, like Stitch did two or three other dudes too. Right.
Yeah. So what happens now in the cutman world, especially with COVID, the way it worked is they started only hiring like one cutman and then everyone has to use that cutman. So it kind of slowed down the process, but now it's kind of opened up again. When you show up and you're the cut man for Ryan Garcia, all the undercards usually show up and say, hey, can you get my dude? Can you get my dude? And they negotiate a kind of a out the pocket price. My father has fighters that he sticks with for years. And one of his fighters was fighting. And so he went to that fight. And then one of the fighters asked him to cover down on his as well. So it's just kind of how the system works these days. He hasn't worked a lot in the past 2 years because kind of the COVID mandate stuff is a lot of these venues were hiring two cut men and they just were on the red corner, blue corner. That's it.
No shit.
Well, Stitch was, I think, the second most famous person in the building.
Yeah.
Everybody knew who Ryan Garcia was, but I think he was the second most famous. So
yeah,
I guess that makes sense.
That's how Stitch goes.
Yeah. I want to stick to this theme on veterans in television. Tyler Gray, friend of the show, obviously, he's kicking ass on SEAL Team. Any chance that you'll cross over and do an episode of SEAL Team?
I've had a call with Matt Bessonette, and he is the original writer of No Easy Day, a Navy SEAL, and he's one of the executive producers on the show. So we've had the conversation. We've had the calls. You know, our people are talking right now. If it makes sense, definitely, I would love to jump on to season 6 for them. That starts filming here soon. So, it's coming down to the wire whether I get a part or not. But, Tyler is doing directing all over the world right now as well. Like he started on the show as a tech advisor and then pushed him way into acting. And then he started getting a significant role there. And then he started pushing into directing. And I believe that's the kind of the direction he really likes more or so. I don't know, but yeah, he's directing a ton. So that's when me and Matt got on the phone and talked about that. And he was like, bro, I just found out about you from another veteran who says you're an actor. And he goes, I just checked it out. I was like, let's talk. I was like, hell yeah, bro. So we talked a lot about this project, and as well as there's other future projects down the road that I'll probably jump on with that executive producer. And like I said, you know how that works. I don't know. SEAL Team is doing season 6, and they're also projected to do a movie for Paramount.
Correct.
So I would love to get an opportunity to do one of those. You know, it just has to make sense for them to bring me on. And I think what slows me down is there's not a lot of veterans that have not a lot of active duty dudes that have my kind of tattoos. And so they'd kind of have to figure that one out.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because, you know, you got the neck tats and you got the hand tats and everything else. Has that at any point held you back in one of these auditions?
Yeah, I think a lot of auditions. I think I think it's where it's kind of pigeonholing me into the bad guy role, which I don't want personally. I will do it. Like guys like Danny Trejo have made a great career out of that, but I really want to explore more of the theatrical drama. And I think the hand tattoos and neck tattoos slows that down significantly. You know, in the end of the day, I have to prove myself as an actor. I think season 4, we'll get to show a little bit more of that. And when people start to trust the acting, they're willing to pay the budget to paint over the tattoos. So I think I'm still in the phase of proving myself as an actor.
Gotcha. Yeah. And I remember when we chatted during last season, kind of halfway through, you were saying that they were going to start to add more and more lines to you kind of as a test. And if you pass the test, then they would give you more in season 4. Do you have a pretty meaty role this year?
Yeah, I do. I'm really honored about it. And I was terrified. I'm exhausted. We're coming down to the wire now. And, you know, I feel like I've done it justice. And, you know, I get the notes, right? You get these dailies and these notes and saying, you know, network says it reads really well. And that's like the best thing I can hear as an actor is like network likes it. You know, they're proud of my work. And then it comes down to, you know, the viewers and the fans, if they support it and they like it, you know, then the buzz will keep going.
Yeah, I think it will, man. The ratings have been great the first 3 seasons, and you'll know next Wednesday.
Yeah. And if I get killed in season 5, well, then, you know, it sucked.
Yeah. Just don't piss off anybody behind the scenes. That's the easiest way to get killed off, where it's like,
yeah, smile and wave. Smile and wave.
Yeah. Because I heard there was a rumor about this girl from Euphoria who was creating turmoil on set. And they were like, man, fuck this girl. And they just kept writing her down. So I hadn't seen it. And I saw the pilot a long time ago. And then I was like, I'll catch up on this. There's nothing really else on. And I was surprised, Delco, it's the big girl on there.
The cam girl?
Yes.
When you say big, you mean fat?
Yes, correct.
Trying to
say play.
No.
It's the bigger girl.
Say
it's
fat
the,
if you mean fat.
It's the plumper girl on there.
Words matter. No matter.
She's the one that's creating havoc. You have Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney, who are the two hottest humans on the planet.
Yeah, because they're happy.
And they don't. They're great actors, too.
I know. Great actors. And they carry the show. And it's like, dude, you're going to be the asshole and you have these two guys carrying the show?
She's getting into character.
Yeah, maybe.
She bullies people online.
Have you seen all these crazy fucking stories about Jared Leto? Like one of the dudes fired off the show put out a video this week about it, about Morbius, and it's wild as shit.
Oh, yeah.
So he plays like a fucking, I guess it's kind of an anti-hero superhero that's a vampire.
Yes.
I don't know the full story.
Yeah, but it's huge.
He had all these extremely bizarre requests that were completely fucking everybody over. Like he had to be pushed around in a wheelchair at all times.
No. So it started off, wait, hang on. It started off with crutches, right? So he was like, look, my character is disabled, so I want to use these crutches in between shots. Well,
Is this real?
This is totally real, 100%. So the
and
crutches
it gets way worse.
The crutches were too slow, and the director and the producers were like, hey, bro, will you consider doing something else, letting us carry you? And he's like, no, I won't be carried. I need to feel what it's like to be disabled. So we're like, great. Can we put you in a fucking wheelchair and wheel you in and out of scenes to the bathroom and shit like that? So that's eventually what they ended up doing.
That is the mildest part of this fucking story.
Oh yeah.
So the other part is, and you work on these sets, so you know how big of a fucking inconvenience this is. 3-hour lunches, because he only eats blood from animals that he's killed personally. So he would go out and hunt for animals and then fucking desanguinate them and then drink the blood, I guess, or whatever
But only for this movie.
Yeah. And then, like, not during, when he went back home, he would eat normally. But
yeah.
For lunch during the show, he had to do that. And then, what was the other one? No water was allowed on set because he was a vampire and some of it might be holy water. I'm not fucking kidding. This is real.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
and
dude.
He was having them shoot scenes in the dark.
He's method acting, bro.
Yes.
He was having them shoot scenes in the dark because sunlight is dangerous to vampires.
Yep. Yeah. You're welcome.
Look,
for all
I
that.
Can't. I can't. I don't know. I don't see myself ever turning into to that. But I've never had a giant role that is life changing financially and in career wise. But it's a trip to see people really dig into the acting thing and. The fear of turning off the character is so scary that they don't turn it off, right? You leave it on. And, you see these little glimpses of that. And it's very interesting. And I don't know. The way I do acting, I try and turn it on and then turn it right off and start joking again and blah, blah, blah. All right. And I've seen, like, to me, the most professional and baddest dude I've ever seen on set is Michael Irby. He played Betty Blue in freaking The Unit.
Yep.
The dude, he's in Barry. He's everything. The dude is hands down one of the most talented actors and well-rounded actors I've ever met in my life. The realest dude I've ever met. I can get him on the show if you guys ever want, because he's that cool dude. But that guy right there will be talking crazy shit to everyone on set. He's like, yo, fuck this, fuck that, blah, blah, blah. And then they say action and boom, he's on.
Yeah.
And he's so good. And it's like that to me, as an actor, you have to know when to turn it on and turn it off. You have to say action and go. And then when it cut, it's like, all right, go back to being human again, And he does that so well for the show, and he does it. And I've been able to watch him for the past 5 years.
Yeah, that dude's awesome.
That to me is professionalism, right at its finest.
Correct.
Then to hear that the craziness, I've heard a lot of stories with the woman with Charlize Theron. Didn't they just write a book about Mad Max or whatever, that movie?
Yep. Mm. So it wasn't her in that. It was Tom Hardy. And finally, she got fed up with it and was just like, fuck off with your dumb shit. And he got in her face, started screaming at her like, there was a rumor that he came close to slapping her, and somebody had to break it up.
What does that mean, came close to slapping somebody?
So here's how close it was.
Like, you're studio, either like, this is close to slapping somebody.
I don't know, but what I know is this. The studio had to put armed security guards outside of her trailer, and they walked her to and from set. You heard that, right?
Yeah. Well, she's
had arm guards with her. She had arm guards with her. She had, like, special operations dudes.
Yeah.
Type guards with her. That's the only time she felt safe around.
And she's an African-American, so that's a hate crime, too.
Charlize Theron?
Yeah,
that's true. She's from South Africa. Yeah,
nailed it.
Yeah, nailed it.
So imagine going to dinner with a basketball player, your buddy. Like, your buddy's with fucking LeBron James or something. You go to dinner with him, and all of a sudden you're like waiting in line to get in. You guys are about to be seated, and he starts boxing you out. Like, dude, what are you doing? He goes, I'm a basketball player, 24 hours a day. I'm in character. No, that would be completely unacceptable.
Yeah,
completely unacceptable in any other profession. Fuck out of here.
Well, John Jones is a method MMA fighter.
No, he's a method cocaine user.
He beats the shit out of his girlfriends at home. So well. No, but he's training. He's training for the next fight. domestic violence is part of it for him, I guess. I think we never leave the cage, Rocco. You've been on the show. Come on, dude.
We need to start drug testing all of our athletes, and if they don't have drugs in their system, they get sent home. Right?
I agree.
When you're a baseball fan. Who's your team? You're a Dodgers fan?
Dodgers, yeah.
Fuck the goddamn Dodgers.
You just said the Dodgers are going to win it all this year.
They have a really good shot, yeah.
I think they will.
I think we'll see. A lot of time between now.
Smart trades.
Yeah. A lot of time between now and the end of the season. but it'll almost assuredly be them and the Braves in the NLCS again, because they got the two best
teams. And then if Freddie Freeman hits a walk-off in Game 7, I'll fucking lose my mind.
I mean, good for him. I don't give a shit.
I love that dude. I love that dude.
Yeah, he's he. Anyways,
you can't take this shit home with you. Is basically what we're saying.
Yeah, I mean it's like it's business.
Yeah,
but you can let business get personal, and people do a lot, and it's a fucking mistake every single time they do it.
Yeah,
literally every time.
It's wild. It's wild to see that. Like I watched the was it the Jim Carrey, Andy Kaufman, a whole thing.
And God, did you watch that doc on Netflix?
Oh, it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous, and you trip out on how wild Jim Carrey is.
And dude, I felt so uncomfortable watching it because you know every single person on set probably hated him. And he thought,
for sure.
He thought, oh man, I'm in method. I'm fucking Andy Kaufman all day.
Oh my God. It's so, it's uncomfortable. And yet there's a little bit of it is genius, right? So I watched the whole thing. Like I fucking feel bad for everybody who had to deal with that. At the same time, it's kind of genius what the fucker did. So it's just so weird, man. And like, I guess I will always feel uncomfortable with being rude to other people's time, mm-hmm. right? I'll always feel like I need to be respectful towards everyone. And so that'll probably always stop me from being a jerk about things on set, unless it's something I adamantly feel like strong about, like, yo, I feel unsafe right now. I'd probably say something in an event that I did, but that hasn't been a moment. Like, dude, we were riding motorcycles and I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to ride motorcycles on set anymore because it's such a different feeling of really riding a motorcycle because now they have a camera car following us and we have to do this certain kind of thing. And so that's probably the only time the season was like, man, I could do without this riding a motorcycle thing because I'd just rather do it on my own. Yeah. You know what I mean? It felt just uncomfortable. But like to be inconsiderate of other people is something I don't know if I can do. And that's what some of these actors tend to do. Like these stories I hear, I'm like, man, that's fucking bizarre, man.
I know. That doc made me uncomfortable. He just retired. He was doing a press tour for Sonic the Hedgehog 2 that he's in, and they asked him what's up next, and he's like, I think I'm done. He goes, unless there's some crazy script that comes along that just tears my face off, he goes, I've pretty much given all I have. And he goes, I'll let my work speak for itself at this point. But he goes, I think I'm done. There's just other shit that I'd rather do. And he goes, I think Hollywood has kind of lost its mind. After that Will Smith thing, he was like, we're not the fucking cool crowd anymore that we thought we were, or maybe we once were. And he goes, it just seems kind of self-serving. I'm out of here. And I don't know if he'll come back. Bruce Willis just retired.
He had to. That's sad, too.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been cool to see you in a movie with Bruce Willis.
Bro, there's a list of greats that I would love to be in their same room with them and watch them work. Because I'm not just a fan of, like, I don't care about the fame of this. I don't care about the notoriety of it. I care about the theater and the art of it. I really enjoy watching people make these choices for characters. And it's like, whoa, that was dope. I guess more of a fan of like the acting side of it, right? And so there's certain people who've been great to watch their process, you know, and Bruce Willis is a great one. Jim Carrey, man, it would be awesome to watch that dude turn it on set. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think that's kind of the only thing that motivates me to stay here is one, I mean, I'm finally getting paid where I feel, you know, it's worth my time. But two is watching these great actors do things and you're like, holy crap, that was dope. You know what I mean? Like Richard Cabral. I mean, you know, Michael Orbe on the show. I mean, I've been blessed to be with these guys from Mayans, but there's a whole list of people that I would hope to be in the same room. I did an audition with like for a J-Lo film. And I thought that would have been cool too. It didn't get it, but that would have been cool. Like people like I know and I've watched my whole life. I'm like, man, I'd love to see what they can do.
Yeah. Has there ever been anybody in a scene that you were doing where you just got caught watching them and forgot that you had lines in it?
Yeah, the first scene I've ever done in Mayans is the first time that happened. It's happened probably three other times since on Mayans, but the first scene in Mayans, it was four of us. I was just shocked that it even was like this significant of a role in the first place in Mayans, right? And it wasn't big. It was just big enough for me, a guy who'd come from, you know, from the Range 15 era of like, I created my character. I didn't have to audition Rocco, you know? And then all of a sudden I'm on set, it's a serious Hollywood show, and you have Richard Cabral, Clayton Cardenas and JD Pardo, the three leads of the show. These are like 1, 2, and 3 on the show, right? And then you have like number 13, 14, whatever I was at the time, you know, and they said action, and they're man, emotionally we're in it, and boom, boom, boom. And it got to my line and I was just still watching and it said, cut, Rocco, are you okay? And I was like, yep. And in my head, I'm like, holy fuck, this is real. And they're good. Right. Like they're like, I believe them in that moment. I was like, oh shit, they're really smuggling dope. You know what I mean? And that was the first time I was like, man, you better bring that A game, bro. You know, it's kind of like that fake it till you make it moment. You know what I mean? I was like, oh shit, I'm here with them. I better figure this out.
But I bet that amplified your ability as well. I mean, just like if you're on a sports team with a great distributor, right? Like, I guess I'll say LeBron again, but, or if you're like doing what we did back in the day and everybody's fucking locked in tight, it just makes everything better. Right.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. I think it pushed me to really respect, because before then I didn't really have much training. I did a few classes here. I talked to a couple acting coaches. I really trust that, like, the instincts that I had from like Range 15 and YouTube and theater from college. And I was like, I got this. And then when I got there, I was like, man, I really need to step up my game. Not only do I just need to be understanding acting better, but I got to show up and do my job, right? Because it's a team sport in this capacity of this ensemble cast. And, you know, there's a couple scenes this year where I wanted to, like, the way I saw it was like, this is a fight. I'm going to show up to this ring trained and I'm going to fuck this dude up. And if he doesn't show up ready to fight me back, he's going to lose the scene. And I see it like that now. And there's probably three scenes this season that I can tell you, we went toe to toe with our dialogue and emotionally driven. And, you know, I felt like I walked away, whether it was a draw or I won, I felt good. You know, yeah. I felt like I did my part. And in drama acting, I imagine comedy is the same, but I haven't been able to do that. It really comes down to just really everyone bringing their best game for you to have the best outcome of the scene.
Yeah. And especially in a drama, if there is a weak link in an ensemble cast, everybody fucking knows it, dude. And you're like, oh, it's that guy. So it forces you to stay in it no matter what, no matter how many lines you have and everything else. Because otherwise, everybody's going to be like, man, fuck that guy.
Yeah, it was like when...
Yeah, but not only the viewers, but the writers, network, everyone. You know what I mean?
Everybody knows, yeah.
You're fighting for a fucking job here, dude, and you'll lose it so fast if you don't show up ready to party.
Rocco, you've been on the show for years. You know we got some sponsors. Put this shit wagon on the air. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Two free pillows with a mattress. Go get the goddamn mattress. It's delightful. Almost as delightful as the pillows. I think the pillows might be number one. No lie, D'Anthony took a pillow to San Antonio to sleep on. I can confirm that. He had its own special case. I think it was Kirill's. He's got that. Do you have that carry-on bag from Kirill? The Assholes Live Forever bag?
I do.
It's great, dude.
The yellow one?
Yeah.
Some of my favorites.
Same. He had his fucking ghost pillow on that goddamn thing.
Oh, it's great. It's a collab we need.
I'm here for it. I'm definitely here for it. Hit us up, Kirill. We're down. But if you're traveling with a ghost pillow, dude, obviously you know it's fucking great. Right now, they've got a 40% off bundle package sale. The adjustable base is great. That comes with the mattress, comes with some USB ports, flashlights on it, everything you need in this life. It'll vibrate from head to toe as well. And it's all via remote control. They've also got amazing sheets. The covers are amazing. That weighted blanket, a lot of people have. I don't have it because Jesse doesn't want me to sleep until noon. And apparently that's what you do with that goddamn thing. But all their products are amazing at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. If you don't want the 40% off bundle package, you can get anything else in the entire store for 30% off with the promo code drinking bros at checkout. Fill up the cart. Feel free. And all of 2022, they get a 60-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest there if you have decent credits. So, congratulations. You can walk out of there with a brand new bedroom set for $20-$25 a month at ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Next up, we've got Babbel.com/drinking bros. Babbel's the language for life, bro. For most of us, learning a second language in high school and college wasn't exactly a high point in our academic careers. Whew, say that again. It was a low point for me, I feel like. I named myself Cholo in that as a child, and they didn't never said anything, didn't know anything about it, and they let that go. They would never let that fly today. But now, thanks to Babbel, the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions, they could have found out what that meant in 10 seconds. It's an addictively fun and easy way to learn a new language. Whether you'll be traveling abroad, connecting in a deeper way with your family, or just have some free time, Babbel teaches bite-sized language lessons that you'll actually use in the real world. I know D'Anthony and Dakota are using it right now. Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Other language learning apps use AI for their lessons plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and accent. There's so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can also access podcasts, which is fun, games, videos, stories, even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, you can save up to 60% off your subscription when you go to babbel.com/drinkingbros. That is babbel.com/drinkingbros, BABBEL.com/drinkingbros for up to 60% off your subscription. Babbel. Language for life. Last but not least, we got hardafseltzer.com. Everybody's drinking this shit. I love it. God damn it. I can't wait to get home tonight so I can have some. 8%. Working on the new flavors now for the summer. Get the OG flavors while they last. Peach, lemon lime, strawberry shortcake, blue raspberry. Let us know what your favorites are. We ship to 42 states. Spring is here. Shit, it's 94 fucking degrees here. God damn it. Yeah, let that sink in. 94. Daddy needs a little splash in the back of his throat at 8% to end this evening. Summer's right around the corner. If you're going on the boats, might as well put a case right inside your cooler and set things off right. 160 cals, that's it. No carbs, no sugars, no gluten, no bullshit in there. Just straight fuckery. You can get housed off these goddamn things. Go to hardafseltzer.com today and order yourself a case.
It's got to be like when Winona Ryder was in that period piece. What the fuck? What was the movie she was in?
Little Women.
Was it Little Women?
She was in Little Women. Was she in Dracula?
Yeah, and she was still saying, I mean, she if it had been shot now, she would be saying bro, basically. Right?
Yeah.
Like the inflection in her voice and everybody else is really, and you know how a period piece, man, it just takes so much money to make that shit happen, to get all the costumes right. And, you know, her mannerisms were just like, she had just shown up that morning, like, oh, it's what's the set in?
Yeah.
1870? Cool, let's do it. It was terrible. It was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my fucking life. For that,
I love watching this scene. I think it's called This Is Us. It's the Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson movie where they're married. And she's telling, you know, and he just goes off on her saying how unhappy he was, whatever.
Yeah.
It is like, it was probably the rawest dialogue I've heard in a movie in a long time where you're like, oh shit, that was rude. but they went back and forth and it was so uncomfortably beautiful. And he just went in on her. And I know, like, midway through his argument, he starts crying because he felt it, dude. And it was like, gorgeous. Like, it was to me one of the best fights I've seen on television with dialogue. They just went at it and he spilled his guts and it's like he believed it. Like, I don't know if there's truth to his real relationship or maybe not, but that character definitely believed he was fucking unhappy in that marriage and it was because of her. It was so dope, dude.
That was the one where she had the little boy haircut, right? That was the only time I've seen Scarlett Johansson unattractive, where like I was like,
yeah, she looked like a mom. Yeah. Like a 30-year-old mom.
Yeah, she had a little bob cut.
I think it's Marriage Story.
Marriage Story?
Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene.
Whenever I see shit like that that's too close to home, where you're like, because everybody's been in those fights and everything like that, you're just like, oh, man. That definitely happened to him at some point where you had that argument.
Yeah, there's scenes in every show. When I see that, I'm like, God damn. Whoever wrote that was feeling it. You know what I mean? And it makes me feel it, you know, which I love. Like, I watched a lot of the show called All American on Netflix. I enjoy some of those scenes that were just emotionally like, that sucked. Gotta go. Gotta leave the room. You know what I mean? And I just love that. I think that's part of why I love acting. And as well, I'm just as much of a fan of it, is watching people get to these places that are just so honest that all of us viewers are uncomfortable, you know?
Well, speaking of being a fan, what shows are you watching right now that you love? Because, you know, television, I feel, is in its golden age right now. And there's a ton of great TV out there. What are you watching now that's your favorite?
Yeah, I mean, my Yellowstone in 1883, I think it was, whatever, yep. 18, whatever it was.
1883.
Those two, yeah, I love the writer.
Taylor Sheridan. Yep.
If I could have dinner with that dude, that's the one out of anyone in Hollywood. I love the writing of it. I love the acting of it. I think it's just, it's top notch, and it makes you feel things. I think the character in 1883, the lead, the female, it's such a powerful character for women. I'm like, I want my daughter to watch it and be like, look at how tough this chick is. You know, even though it's a character, it's gorgeous. You know, I watch Bel Air just because I watched all the Fresh Prince back in the day. I watch it.
It's on Peacock. How is that show, by the way?
Bro, I mean, if you're a fan of the old, you know, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, there's a lot of tip of the caps and a lot of little nuances that are the part of the show, the original show. So I just loved it, man. And as well as the drama's great. I mean, the storyline's good, and it still stays in line with it, but kind of a more fresher take of it. And it's good. I really enjoyed the show. Me and my wife sat there and watched every single episode.
You know, what I've been getting into a lot lately is these miniseries that are 8 episodes and then they're ending, like they're done, right?
Yeah, what would they call that? Limited series.
Yeah, limited series. It used to be called miniseries back in the day. Now they're calling it a limited series so they can still go for award season. That's the only reason they're calling it that, by the way, is you have to qualify for the Emmys and shit. But with that, I watched Pam and Tommy. I thought that was excellent across the board.
That's on the list. Dude, that's on the list.
That's Hulu. That's Hulu as well. So check that out. Both of those people, you can't tell me, weren't the actual Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson. I mean, they fucking destroyed it.
Everyone on set, all the Mayans are talking about that show right now. They all watch it and they're blown away by
it. It's so fucking good, dude.
I heard Winning Time on HBO is really good.
Winning Time is fucking awesome. The only thing that I hate about it is that's HBO. Mm. It's Adam McKay. And you know who came up to me at Jared's birthday party was Jack Mandeville. Mm. And he goes, hey, dude, I love the show Winning Time. But why does Adam McKay break the fourth wall where you have to turn towards camera? And I was thinking about you, Rocco. I was like, dude, you would fucking hate that, dude. As an actor, where every...
I have to watch that.
Oh, dude, every other scene, they make a character turn towards camera and be like, and they didn't know that I was a billionaire. And then back into the scene, you're just like, stop doing that. Otherwise, it's the greatest series on television.
I mean,
right
if
now.
They had plugged in John Krasinski doing it at some point, right?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. But it's like an old Office trick, but it's Adam McKay's thing, and God forbid he doesn't do it. Winning Time is fantastic. And then Hulu has just been ripping shit up, dude. The Girl from Plainsville, I'm watching right now. Super pumped on Showtime with Joseph Gordon-Levitt is really fucking good. And then as much as I hate to say it, because you talked about him earlier, Jared Leto, he's doing a show on Apple with Anne Hathaway called We Crashed.
Mm, those are the two of the most insufferable people in all of Hollywood. So
it's probably
a good show.
Jared Leto, he's good.
It's a good series.
He's a great actor.
He's good.
He is. There's just no reason for his bullshit. Like, even we're watching We Crashed, right? And his face doesn't look like a real face of a human because he, you know, allegedly wanted to look more like the character. So my wife looked him up and we're looking at the actual guy versus Jared Leto and was like, it's pretty fucking close as is. Like, you really didn't need to put on a fake chin, a fake nose, brown fucking eye contacts and shit like that. I was like, what are you doing, dude? Like, you're it's close enough.
I'm not fortunate enough to be in a position to even make those choices. I don't know if I ever will be, but it's very, it's interesting. I think the dude's talented though. So fuck, if that's what it takes to show up, I guess, you know, because that's what sells millions. And that's why people put up with the dope dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, whatever performance he does is going to sell fucking millions and tons of views. So people sit there and be like, just deal with it. Trust me, the fucking ratings will prove it.
I know. And if he wasn't talented, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here with this dumb shit, dude.
Yeah, he'd be done. He'd be fucking done.
Done.
But The motherfucker, he pulls it off every goddamn time. Didn't that Morbius fucking kill the box office?
It did.
Dude?
It made $83 million worldwide opening weekend, and it's like, dude, what are you gonna do?
Yep, I mean, I'm still gonna watch it.
Yeah, the dude pushing the wheelchair is like, fuck it.
Maybe they should have put Robert Pattinson in a wheelchair for Batman.
Maybe. Batman did well. I just didn't.
His performance was great, but that movie was fucking terrible.
Yeah, I didn't dig it. Did you watch it, Rocco?
Didn't watch it. No. Yeah. Nope. Wasn't interested. Still not. I will if it's just there. I watched Spider-Man. I like that one.
Mm-hmm. I rewatched Spider-Man again once it came out on streaming. It was a good movie.
Yeah, Spider-Man was really good. You know what you would have been really great in that I took my son to see the other day was this movie called Dog with Channing Tatum.
Yeah, yeah. You would have played the dog.
No, you wouldn't have played the dog.
I'm going to need someone to help me here, put me on a leash and walk me around.
It's like Spaceballs with John Candy is wearing the bucket.
Yeah, no, me and Jared actually early on in like the whole, you know, Article 15 clothing videos and stuff became pretty good friends with Channing Tatum's team. Mm. And we had a meeting with them here in Hollywood about working on a project that it never came through. But, you know, that's just the way it goes. But no, I've been watching what he does. And yeah, I heard that movie was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a veteran story. So it's about a guy in his unit that got killed and he's supposed to take the canine dog back to the family for the funeral.
Mm.
So it kind of goes like I want to say cross country. It didn't really say how many miles they went, but he takes this dog cross country and the dog's out of control because the dog had a bunch of PTSD and all that other stuff. And then at the end, he's supposed to drop the dog off and then they're going to kill the dog.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil the ending.
I was like, oh, damn, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But the dog lives.
Did you watch Dave? Did you watch the full two seasons of it?
Mm-hmm. I did. Yeah, yeah.
I thought for me was like my wife couldn't watch it. She would be like, are you watching this shit again? And I was like, I love it. I think it's brilliantly uncomfortable at times. Yeah. But like that one scene, that one whole episode with him and Benny Blanco.
But I was just going to say with his dick out.
The whole, they're showering together. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And I kept sitting there watching. I'm like, yo, bro, this is real. Like it was one of the most incredible things to watch because it made me uncomfortable, but yet I was like, these guys are brilliant, man. They're brilliantly doing like something so freaking fun and getting paid to do this. It must have been something. I'm wondering if that's a real story, but crazy, crazy show. And that show made me uncomfortable, made me laugh, and it also made me emotional as shit. So like, I loved Dave more than anything, and I'm excited for another season of that.
Yeah. I think the best performance of that entire series is that episode where Gata has a breakdown, right? Because he's in real life also bipolar, right? That he's playing himself basically in the show.
Correct. And Benny Blanco is Benny Blanco. Like that's the real Benny Blanco. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's that episode where Gata's at the mall or whatever the fuck and has a breakdown when they're looking for shoes.
Dude, yeah.
Like to be able to act that well when you're acting out a part of your own fucking life, that's pretty legit, honestly. Being able to do that is pretty legit. That dude might get some more jobs after this.
I thought he was just an actor. I had to look him up as well, and I was like, that's a real fucking dude. Yeah. No way.
No, dog, straight up, that dude is dope. Like that show is dope, but Gata, if he wasn't in it, it wouldn't be nearly as good. And Dave himself, freaking Little Dicky, is a genius, like an absolute genius, dude, in what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah, he's fantastic.
And Cheeto, Andrew Santino, he's fucking funny as shit, too.
Yeah, he's always good. Yeah. Are you in L.A. full-time now, or are you still in Utah?
No, I just commute. There's no point. I still live in Salt Lake City and then just come out here and stay. I'm in the house I grew up in right here. This is it. So I rent a room.
No shit. That's fucking crazy, man. And what kid are you on? The audience is asking.
We have 8 kids, and we unfortunately are not able to have any more. My wife had complications with this last one, and her uterus would not be able to hold another baby. So we stopping at 8.
Well, 8 is enough. That's what they say, right?
Yeah. 8 is about perfect. We have 4 boys, 4 girls. It's been an awesome journey. My oldest daughter, guess what college she goes to?
What?
Ohio State.
Shut the fuck up. Boo. Are you serious?
Boo.
Yeah, she is on the...
She's going to have a great life.
She's on the wrestling club currently, and they're hoping to get sanctioned for wrestling, and she's going to try and walk onto the first Ohio State girls wrestling.
Sanctioned as in make it a varsity sport?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of just an intramural or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, correct. Yeah. So it starts with a club, and then from the club, you have to get the funding and you have to get all the signatures and shit. But Iowa, one of the biggest wrestling schools in college, started their women's program and they got their team sanctioned. And so it only makes sense for the other big dogs to do it. So Penn State's talking about it, Ohio State's talking about it, and several other big colleges. And so the women's wrestling, I've been fortunate enough to be on like the early end of watching the women's wrestling grow because of my daughters, and she potentially can be a part of the first female wrestling team in Ohio State history.
So that'd be awesome. Cool. By the way, it's the Ohio State University.
No.
You lost
that.
Let's not forget that. One,
they lost that court case.
Two, I will say this. I believe they have a female hockey team at Ohio State as well. So I'm sure wrestling will be next, and that'll be awesome. As a dad, are you going to go out there to watch her at Ohio State?
Oh yeah. I think next year we're planning to go catch a football game, 'cause that's iconic to be on that, you know, to be there watching a game. And yeah, if she ever wrestles, dude, you know, I'm going to be buying flights to go watch. 'Cause I told her, I said, look, if you want it, great, do it. But for me, if you do it, I need a photo of you in that singlet. You know what I mean? With a hand up raised by the ref, and just that's it. That's going to go on my wall forever.
Yep.
Super proud of watching the legacy of her wrestling.
If I can recommend one game to you, it'd be September 3rd. Ohio State is opening up against Notre Dame. So that's
the one we're thinking about going to. Yeah.
We'll do a live show from there. You can be the guest on the show, dude.
Are you going?
Fuck yeah. It's Notre Dame, dude. It's opening weekend. And I believe that is Labor Day weekend as well. So there's a holiday on Monday.
Yeah. Shoot me a. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Either way, I'm definitely going to get one of the flights out there. So I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know, because that's going to be the biggest game opening week. Second week, actually, is Texas against Alabama here at University of Texas. So that'll be huge.
It's going to be a fucking bloodbath. It'll be great, because it'll be nice to watch. One of my favorite things is if my team doesn't win, is to watch just the roller coaster of emotion that happens. And then see all the energy get zapped out of 100,000 people all at once. Like you can't, there's nothing you can do to replace that kind of experience, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like you just don't see, it's hard to fucking see something like that. And it happens every now and again. And I've been at a couple of them. It was dope as shit.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that again here. I hope that it's a tie game going into the fourth quarter, and then, or Texas is up by a touchdown, and then Alabama scores 40 in the fourth quarter. That's what I want to see happen.
It might happen, dude. Who they got? Quinn Ewers at quarterback this year, out of Texas.
Well, if he starts, but
exactly
seems like he will.
Exactly. Bama's got everybody coming back. They got the fucking Heisman Trophy kid coming back. Mm. Like, they're gonna be good this year. Ohio State's gonna be good. They'll probably be number two.
Yeah, they're good.
So that'll be a great game to go to. Do you still keep up with everything that's going on in the news? Because you have a lot of downtime in your trailer.
Yeah, I wake up and really kind of go through. Me and Dan talked about this the other day. Yeah, I woke up and read some of the news, Ukraine and everything else.
What are your thoughts on that? A lot of people in the chat are asking.
I don't know. You know, like at first, to me, it's like it's hard to watch another conflict. It's hard to watch conflict and watching them go through that, because I know what we all kind of experience in our life. And so watching it's kind of surreal. It's kind of uncomfortable a little bit, and also curious to see if we're going to get pulled into it. And if we do, my heart's going to want to go back. I am currently retired, so I think that ship has sailed. But, I've had some veterans reach out to me that are getting, they're getting forward deployed to other locations for the just in case. And man, I feel for it all. I feel bad for it all, to be honest. And I don't know. I can't tell you what it all looks like. It just personally, it's definitely uncomfortable to see what's going down. And fuck, it's crazy. So I do watch it. I try not to get too inundated with it, but it is the truth of what's happening. So I pay attention.
Yeah. By the way, breaking news here: mask on planes for 2 more weeks. So they just announced that. Yeah, right now.
Ugh.
Fucking A.
I'm dying with that, bro. I'm dying with that.
Same. We travel all the fucking time for the show, and like, same, dude, it sucks. Buddy of ours just got on a flight.
Yeah.
20 minutes ago, and sent us a picture with a mask on.
I mean, this has all been a very weird, tenuous kind of situation. Like this, this is a CDC recommendation. Mm-hmm. The CDC doesn't have legal or regulatory authority. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Like they're a research facility. That's what they do. They don't have they don't have the ability to tell us anything about like what we have to do. And for some reason, these airlines, who by the way, every single CEO of every single airline co-signed a letter saying, "Hey, knock this shit the fuck off," about a month ago.
Yeah,
and it's still still doing it.
It doesn't make sense where you're allowed to eat and drink still on the plane, but you have to wear your mask after. They say between bites. And then the other thing that bothers me again. Dude, I play the game like anyone else, and it's a little frustrating because you walk across the any airport you go to, and everyone's having dinner with their mask off, but in the open hallway, no separation, nothing. We have to wear masks. So I'm just like, man, this doesn't make sense to me, and which always makes me uncomfortable when it doesn't make sense. You're like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, none of this shit makes sense. Like, there is a report out today that U.S. life expectancy has been cut by 2 years. Now, what does that mean? Does anybody understand how data works, right? So if you have a bunch of people dying younger than usual in any given year, then it'll bring down the aggregate fucking life expectancy. But if you're still alive right now, you shouldn't expect to live 2 years less than you would have otherwise. That's not how fucking reality works. But it is good to get clicks, right?
I guess so.
It's just clickbait bullshit.
Man, I guess so. I called this that they were going to extend this fucking thing. Now people are questioning online whether or not it'll ever get lifted. I don't know.
I don't know if it'll ever get lifted, dude.
Because it's easier for the airlines to do it where they're just like, hey, we can serve you less. We don't have to give you food and drinks. We don't have to go up and down the aisles that much. And just shut the fuck up and keep your mask on. That way we don't have to hear you either. We don't have to hear you talking and ordering shit.
I hate the people that are just super aggressive with it. Like, sir, your mask. I'm like, oh God. Okay. Got it. But
yeah,
I don't want to fight you after.
I think we should all just start wearing luchador masks.
I think
that's the best mask. That'd be a great mask. Oh, I got my Ready Gunner.
Shit, dude. That's dope.
Neil. He has Neil. It's at Neil on Instagram.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you get that?
Dude, I don't know how he pulled that one off.
Who knows?
Straight up. Yep. Neil.
There's a dude from that Full Send podcast. He has it just at Kyle. And I'm like,
he probably paid for
that off.
They probably paid for it. You wanted what?
I'm Vince, just my first name. Mm. And it's just impossible.
Yeah, you're not getting that.
Yeah, I didn't get my name. I didn't get one of my kids' names because there was a dog, a German Shepherd in England with one picture up on Instagram from like 2 years ago. And it's just sitting there with my kid's name. I couldn't even get that. I'm like, God damn it, man.
This Brooklyn shooting guy just got arrested.
Oh, he did? Yeah, where at?
He's in New York somewhere, but he's definitely not 5'5". I don't know where they got that shit from.
Whoa. I'm looking. Yeah, you're right. I just pulled up the picture.
He looks like he's like 6'2", maybe 6'3".
Huge dude.
Yeah, he's a large man.
Hey, I got to jump here soon, guys, and I apologize about that.
No, it's fine.
My team put me onto another thing that I have to take care of.
No, I know you guys are doing press and a ton of it, getting ready for next week. So it's totally fine.
Sure.
We appreciate your time coming on the show today. Real quick before you get out of here, drinking bro of the week. Who would you like to give it to this week?
Oh my. Hey, Matt and JT, I'm going to say this. They surprised me the other day with a gift, and it's a gift that has it's an AR-15 platform rifle that is custom built. It has Article 15 clothing logo printed on it and a Ledslinger's whiskey logo, and it says Big Poppy. And so, you know, sometimes we get busy in our days and we don't get to call each other and text each other as much as we would want to, but that small little gift was huge. Man, it just made it put a smile on my face, and I want to tell the guys, thank you very much. You guys are the drinking bro of the week.
Awesome. Hey, cheers, buddy. We love you. We're proud of all your success. And, you know, for those who don't know, you're genuinely doing what you set out to do in this life. And it's super amazing to see. Much continued success.
Thank you. See you guys.
See you, buddy.
Bye, buddy. And I have my own drinking bro of the week here. This is Mike Demo. Giorgio, I'm going to text you this picture because I'm technologically disadvantaged, probably. Is that a...
Neither one of those were words.
They were technologically disadvantaged. I think they are.
Disadvantaged?
No, just disadvanced. Like, that, I'm not advanced enough.
That's... We also got two guys in studio.
I know we got a couple guys in studio, but when you see this picture, it's worth it. So I just texted it to you, Giorgio. If you can pop it up on screen. I don't know how he convinced his wife to do this, because it was just a mere hours after birth. But it is amazing if you can pop that up on screen. Look at got the baby to pose with a hard AF seltzer. There it is. First hours into this world, already drinking an 8%, Proud of you, Mike. Congratulations to you and your wife, Bria, I believe her name is. And cheers. I don't know what the name of the baby is. So.
It's named Lemon Lime. You can see it right there on the can.
That's right. That's
Pull that picture back up.
Yeah, is it Lemon Lime?
Yeah, Lemon Lime is the name of that baby.
Look at that. And how did they get the tongue out, too?
It's
real proud of that.
Maybe. It's a mouth-breathing baby.
Baby's getting ready to dunk, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. It's a good-looking kid. Congratulations, you guys. Proud of you. Hey, real quick, with this Subway guy here, Dan.
Yeah.
What was the final verdict on this? Was he military? What was the fucking deal?
I don't know. I haven't had a chance to read about all of it yet.
Frank James is his name. He's 62? 62 years old? What the fuck's he doing at 62?
I know that he has quite a few videos on social media of him saying super fucked up shit. It's like the same thing from the Waukesha dude that drove into all those people.
Oh yeah.
Like it's black nationalists, I hate white people, we should do violence against white people stuff all over his social media. So
gotcha.
Yes.
Man, dude, what a weird story. To my knowledge, nobody has died, correct, Bob?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, zero deaths?
No deaths.
No deaths so far. Their guess was that he fired 33 shots and 19 people were injured, but thus far no deaths. 62 years old. Pop a picture of this guy. This is not what I expected at all.
He was also being investigated by the FBI at some point, and they stopped investigating.
What for? Do you know?
I don't know. No.
Man, that's strange. What a bizarre story. Yeah. I like how it didn't stop anything in Brooklyn last night. Because I thought that for sure that Brooklyn Nets game would be postponed.
Well, one thing that did happen was that Uber surge pricing went into effect because the subway shut down.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people were mad about that. I guess that's fine. It's an algorithm that does it. It happens automatically.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they, I don't know.
Uber did give the money back.
They pay people their money back and shit, but maybe be a little bit quicker on that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's a public safety issue.
God damn it, dude. Yeah, pop that guy's picture up again, Bob. Let me see him. That's him getting arrested right there. Who came up with 5'5"? That's a fucking gigantic human. Unless that cop is 4'11", right there.
No, that dude's got to be in like 6'4", 6'5", right?
Right.
So apparently somebody called the tip line because they saw him at McDonald's on East 6th and First Ave in the Village.
That's where he was?
Yeah, so I guess maybe he saw the description and he was like, well, they're not going to be looking for me because I'm not 5 foot fucking five. Jesus Christ, what a bunch of incompetent dummies.
Eating at the Village McDonald's.
He looks like he's also a fan of the land, air, and sea.
Might be.
He might be, yeah. Go to my Twitter, Bob, right quick and pull up this picture. It's salient for this. I don't know if you remember this. It wasn't too long ago. Right there, that picture right there. Throw that up on screen. Wasn't too long ago that these assholes were protesting to get the cops out of the subway.
No way.
Man, that is a perfect cross-section of who exactly you think would be at this protest.
Oops. Oh, yeah.
Well, you don't see any pink or purple hair in that shot, but I'm sure there's some in the crowd, right?
Wow.
What a bunch of fucking dummies. Pepperidge Farm members.
Yeah. Holy shit, dude.
It's important.
That's crazy. So the McDonald's in the East Village, I think that's probably on 3rd and St. Mark's. That's a dirty McDonald's, too. It makes sense for a guy like that.
There are no clean McDonald's.
Yes, there is.
And fucking... Yeah,
it's one of the finest establishments we have.
No. Well, no. I mean, in New York City at all, there's not one clean McDonald's. Not one. I've been to a number of them.
I love them. I don't care, McDonald's. I love you. I love you.
I will poop in any McDonald's that also sells a blended coffee. That's like the tier level of when you know how good the McDonald's is.
I don't.
And they've gotten rid of the playground. The playground's non-existent now.
Yeah.
It's the bar height tables. No longer the
I just
benches.
Play inside of the store now.
Yeah. They took it out. Most of them, they got nuked because of COVID.
I bring my own balls from home.
Yeah.
The fuck Dan are they going to do?
Camp out in the back and just set up shop.
Start launching them at the people.
This is America, and I am entitled to have a playground at McDonald's. Yeah. And if there isn't one, I will fucking make one.
I believe Shakespeare said, "All the world's a ball pit."
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Wherever
he did.
Wherever you want it to be.
Or his ghostwriter said that.
First, let's kill all the clowns.
Exactly.
Maybe.
We got some drinking bros in the studio today. Why don't you come on up? Are you allowed to? I always ask that question. Are you allowed to? Oh, you seemed unsure about that. Come on in. Come on in. Yeah, you got to take off those headphones, though. Yeah, you'll snap back, dude, real quick. Real quick.
Oop, there goes Rabbit.
I know. Exactly, dude. Mom's spaghetti. And then we get sued for it. Welcome. Just come about. You don't have to put the headphones on there. They're okay. Mostly for me. My right. voice is so fucking loud that if I don't keep these on, then I'll talk even louder. So, yeah, just come about an inch from the mic. You're good to go. What's your name?
My name's Steven.
Steven.
Yeah.
What's your last name?
Rogers.
Steven Rogers. Welcome, dude. Yeah,
thanks.
You followed me up the stairs. I thought you were going to kill me for a second.
That was the original plan, but
plans changed.
Steve Rogers.
Steve Rogers sounds a little...
That's Captain America.
Yeah.
The one and only.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No shit, yeah. Dude. Were you pissed off when the movie came out and you're like,
absolutely.
Oh, God damn it, dude.
Riding my coattails again.
I know.
Yeah.
You're Captain America now.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
Air Force.
Air Force. Yeah. Nice. Nice. How long have you been listening to the show?
Like 2018, 2019.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, dude. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
I get the new shirts on today.
I love it.
Look at this, dude.
Yeah.
Brobox. Brobox.
Oh, yeah?
Brother. Yeah, all right. Yeah. We're putting out like one-time-only shirts in that box.
Yeah.
And then once you get it, that's it. We move on to something else.
Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know the drill. Who'd you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I have to give it to my wife, actually. She's been putting up with my bullshit for a long time.
Nice.
And I'm here out of town dealing with military nonsense for quite a long time. And she's at home holding it down with the kids. And I can't thank her enough, man.
That's awesome. How many kids you got?
Two.
You coach any other sports or anything?
No, because of this.
No shit. Yeah. No shit.
My daughter's in softball, but I'm here, so.
I coach my kids stuff. It's weird. I have no bigger excitement in my life than ripping the hearts out of the other parents on the other teams, crushing their souls on Saturdays, just having them see their children lose. And then I know it's going to fuck up the rest of their day when my kids win. There's nothing better than that feeling in the world.
And that's the hard thing about being here, being away from the kid, because my daughter, she's killing it in softball.
But is she?
I just watch it on FaceTime, so.
Shit, man. Yeah, we're undefeated, Giorgio. So Giorgio and I have a bet. We won 5-3 over the weekend. I got practice tonight. So we're 5-0-1. And in soccer, the tie, I guess, counts toward an undefeated season.
Ross.
Yeah.
If I'm promised to be very respectful, at the last game of the season, can I come and film the game and talk to the parents?
100%.
Do a little mini doc on it.
Oh, 100%. Because here's what's going to happen, and I'll tell you this now. I order my own trophies for the kids. If you work this hard, because, I mean, there's practices and shit. Like, I get practice tonight. So there's practice every week. Then you have the games. They're only 7-8 years old, these kids. It's a lot, and it's 94 fucking degrees tonight. So I gotta coach in this shit. It's gonna be hot as hell. They deserve an awesome trophy if they win. So going into the last game, though, I have to get them a week in advance, because that's how long it takes to make the trophy. So then I have to guess with writing the undefeated season on the trophy, and if they lose, then I have to throw those in the garbage.
Clearly.
Yeah, yeah. And the same thing happened last year, by the way.
Yeah.
They weren't undefeated. We had one loss, but like the next closest team had two losses. But if we lost that last game, I said, look, you guys aren't going to get the trophy. Like, that's the way it is. The league gives you this participation trophy, which is fucking bullshit, and it's about 2 inches tall. But I was like, if you win, I've got World Cup replica trophies here for you. So, let's go Austin Bulls. Let's go Austin Bulls.
That's right.
Thanks for being here, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Did you grab a seltzer?
Yeah, they're delicious. Oh my God.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Thanks. We're super amped about those.
Yeah.
Who else we got in here today? You want to come on up? Come on in, dude. Come on in. He's drinking seltzers, too. I'm always amazed how people get home after that. Because when you're not used to an 8%, that's a fucking crazy drive home after that. What's up, dude? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Marcus Steele.
Marcus Steele. Yeah. That's a fucking strong name right there. That's a porn star name.
It is. It is.
We had Captain America, and then we have a porn star in the show. And you've got a nice porn mustache.
Thank you.
That's a beautiful stash.
I just trimmed the beard today, left the mustache a little bit more full.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. I can grow a strong stash. My beard game fucking sucks. I can't grow it.
Yeah, I got this little patch down here.
That's what I'm saying. Dude, I'm patchy. I'm patchy on the sides.
Ooh,
not good.
Not good.
I can goatee it out, right? But the sides is where I get lost right there. What'd you think of that seltzer?
It's pretty good. That's pretty good. not too overpowering, yeah. You know, not too sweet, not too seltzery.
Yeah.
But your flavor comes through really good.
And that 8 will hit you.
Oh, yeah.
It'll hit you.
It's kind of awkward, though. You know, you feel like a bum. You're like, hey, can I come in here and, you know, drink some of your shit and fucking.
It's like, that's what it's here for.
Yeah.
That's what it's here for. At the new studios, we're working on building one as a studio and then one as a bar. So that way people can just watch the show in there and just drink all day.
Where's that going to be at?
It's off of 290.
Okay. East or west?
Is that west 290? Yes, 290 west.
Okay.
290 west.
All right.
Right now they're putting in, so we're having AstroTurf put in the studio. And that is going in today, actually. So I'm amped about that. Shout out to Carrie, my next door neighbor. She does the floors. Best in the biz out in the old Austin Dripping Springs area. You know the drill, dude. Who'd you like to give the Drinker Bro of the Week to?
So I got two. First, I want to give it to my buddy Matt Perman. I work with him. He's the one that turned me on to the show. Been listening since about early 2020, right about the time the pandemic started.
Oh, so, yeah.
He turned me on to the show, so shout out to him for, you know, bringing me in, I guess. And then, you know, the cliche, got to give it to my dad, hardest working guy I know.
It's never a cliche when people give it to their dad, because usually your father should have a big role in your life, you know? Yeah. So it's never a cliche on this show, for sure.
Yeah, he worked hard all his life, made sure we had what we needed at, you know, sacrifice to himself, as most fathers do. So shout out to him.
That's appreciate awesome, it. Man.
That's awesome. And then also, thank you to you. You know, I hit you up on Instagram because I could not for the life of me find out where the hell this place was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I'm going to be in Austin tomorrow. I might as well stop by.
Yeah.
And within like 30 minutes, I don't know if it was you or whoever, but you.
It is me. So here's the thing. I get a fuck ton of DMs. And so I'll try to answer like, I don't know, 10 a night. So if it was yours, cause like, I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I don't, I wouldn't expect you to,
but we always say, hey, if you're in town, just pop by the studio. We don't care.
And then when I got here, I was like, this motherfucker sent me to God knows where. There's no way that this studio is here. And then sure
it's
enough,
very nondescript,
yeah,
where you show up and you're like, why are all the windows blacked out? It could be a rape room or it could be a 5,000 square foot studio. You don't know.
Yeah.
And that's the magic and beauty of it. The new one, I think we're going to paint a logo on the outside. So it's like, hey, dude, just find this off the highway and drop like a pin or something.
Yeah.
Especially when the bar opens, where it's like, hey, come in, have some drinks and just rage. And then we'll leave the show on all day in the background. Put a bunch of sports to bet on and shit like that.
That'd be good.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Oh, yeah.
Looking
forward
to it.
I'm kind of local, so it's.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Where are you over, at?
College Station.
Okay, shit.
Yeah.
You an Aggies fan?
My brother graduated college from there, so I guess by default, living there, family that goes there, I guess by default, kind of, but
they might have a decent season this year. They beat Bama last year.
Yeah, it's looking like it.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Fingers crossed.
That quarterback, who is it? Haynes?
I
think it's Haynes is the quarterback.
Haynes King?
Haynes King, that's it. Yeah. I think he's back. He was injured. He was supposed to be the saving grace for that school. So, yeah, I think you guys have a pretty decent season.
We'll see.
Either way, thanks for coming to the show, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for both of you guys. Thank you for all your support. All this shit is because of you guys, and it's the only reason any of this is possible. So thank you very much, sincerely. And shout out to Vincent Rocco Vargas. Please check out the new season of Mayans MC, which starts next week on FX. If you don't catch it on FX, you can watch the replay of it on Hulu. For D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone. First and foremost, our title sponsor, OmahaSteaks.com. Promo code Drinking Bros gonna get you an extra $35 off at checkout. When it comes to Father's Day, some things never change. Dads want steak. A recent survey shows 75% of Americans agree there's no better way to spend Father's Day than grilling with the family. From USDA certified tender steaks to burgers and more, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience, guaranteed to secure your spot as dad's favorite. Shop OmahaSteaks.com and give Dad the legendary Heartland quality he deserves. Plus, our listeners get an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Here's what I love about Omaha Steaks. It's easy to use. Shows up right at your house in a huge styrofoam cooler full of dry ice, even in the hot, hot state of Texas down here. It keeps it nice and cool. Shit, mine, I was gone for 36 hours, dude, and it was still great when I returned. Ton of options over there for Omaha Steaks as far as delivery goes. Now, obviously, the steaks are to die for. The fan favorite is the filet mignon, which has earned the coveted distinction of USDA certified tender, and their all-new smash burgers are built for the grill, but they also carry mouth-watering chicken, pork, seafood, desserts, an easy to prepare comfort food. My wife loves the apple tart desserts they have over there. And each steak is perfectly aged to maximize tenderness and hand cut by master butchers. Omaha Steaks has been America's original butcher since 1917. They're a family owned company with over 100 years of expertise in the meat industry. This Father's Day, give Dad the world's best steak experience with Omaha Steaks. Visit OmahaSteaks.com for a guaranteed perfect gift that delivers legendary quality. And for an extra $35 off, use the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. It is OmahaSteaks.com and an extra $35 off with the promo code DRINKINGBROS at checkout. Just go ahead and see this site for details. Brother!
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.